Amen. Thanks, Ralph. All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome.
Thanks.
Welcome to the first church service of summer. And boys, it felt like summer. It's also, as Ralph mentioned, the first day of Advent, which I imagine most of you would know what that is. And I can't remember if Ralph said what it is, but it is the four Sundays before Christmas. And it's also marked with a wreath with the candles, as was seen, lit by Hamish. And can anyone tell me what that candle that Hamish lit is? Yes, I heard someone at the back. Hope. Thanks. It's, hope. And that's going to be important throughout the sermon, so just remember that and think on it just while you listen to it. So, during this Advent season, we're going to be looking at a question. And that question is, it's already up there. What are you waiting for? So what are you waiting for? At this time of year, there could be so many things that you could be waiting for. There's obviously Christmas, which you don't have to be a kid to be excited for that. Anyone can be. We also have school and uni would have either just ended or be coming up to an ending. That's what I was waiting for about 4 years. And also my exams, just at the end there. There's also holidays. You could be going on holiday, waiting to do that. You could even be waiting for this sermon to end. But I wouldn't imagine anyone here would be like that. Now, yeah, there are so many things you could be waiting for. A few years ago, or I say a few, it was probably 6, 7. That's quite a few for me. But in my early days of my cricketing career, I only managed one wicket in a whole season, and it was in the last match. So that year, that was something I was waiting for. But that waiting did pay off, because in the last 2 seasons, I did get the most wickets. So all comes back. Another thing I was waiting for, as I mentioned before, was school. I hated school. I reckon over the past 4 years, I probably had more bad days than good days. And I won't get into that right now. But I just really didn't enjoy it. And honestly, my parents would hate me saying this, but I was so over it that I don't know when the marks come out, but they come out a few weeks or something. And I don't even know if I want to look at them. I just couldn't care. I was just happy to be done. So this just meant that, I could not wait for school to be over with. In fact, knowing that it would be over at some point is probably what got me through it. But there was another thing that did help me get through school, and this is probably a little bit more important than just waiting for it to end, and that was knowing that God and having hope that God would be with me through the rough patches. Now, moving on from talking about that, all that personal stuff and stuff about us, I want to move on and talk about the very famous biblical figure, Zechariah, who is not that person. That is a random picture of a priest that I found. But he would have looked like that. And it's not Zechariah we're talking about is not Zechariah the prophet or Zechariah the king of Israel, who was described in the Bible as an evil man. The Zechariah we're talking about is, as Robert mentioned, the father of John the Baptist. And if I can be honest, before I was researching this sermon, I didn't know who he was. And I'd be sure that many of you would know who he is and know a lot more than I do even now about who he is. But for those of you who are like me or don't just know the name or something like that, I'll tell you a bit about him. So Zechariah, as was mentioned, was the father of John the Baptist. He was a priest, and when he is introduced to us in the Bible, he is said that he is on duty, which just means that at the temple of the Lord, which is the temple of Jerusalem. But being on duty for a priest just meant that they were working at that temple. Zechariah, however, did not live in Jerusalem. Luke says that he just lived in hill country, so it's not really said where he came from. Now, the order of priests that Zechariah came from were called the Abijah. And this is interesting because the Abijah were commissioned by King David to prepare the building of the temple in Jerusalem by his son Solomon. David thought that he had sinned too much in his life to build the temple himself, and so he created this order of priests to prepare the building of the temple for Solomon, so that Solomon would find it easy to build. This reflects what John the Baptist's role was for Jesus, as he went before and prepared the people for Jesus. So it just sort of relates in with that. Zechariah is also said to be blameless when it came to the Torah, as was his wife Elizabeth. And this does not mean that they were without sin. It just meant that while they did keep to most of the laws, if they did ever break them, they observed the cleansing rules to be forgiven for their sins, which is just sacrificing animals after sinning, which we don't do anymore, which is good. Now we can move on to what Zechariah did in the Bible. Zechariah and Elizabeth are said to both be elderly. So like Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament, they're too old to have children, which shows why Zechariah is so surprised by God's message to him. Chronologically, Zechariah's story and the birth of John the Baptist are the first events to happen in the New Testament. Zechariah is the first person given a message by God for 400 years. Before I tell you about that, I'll set the scene. So Zechariah is doing his duties as a priest in the temple in Jerusalem. He was chosen by lot to go into the temple and burn incense. I don't know if the priests cast lots because none of them wanted to do that job or if it was a very important religious custom. But either way, it was at this point when Zechariah was alone in the temple that an angel appeared to him. This next part we read from Luke 1, 11 to 20. You can read it. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." And for the whole of the pregnancy, Zechariah would remain mute. The first words he spoke is that song that was read. Now that we all have a base knowledge on who Zechariah was, we can look at the song that he spoke at John's birth. And while it is called Zechariah's song in the New International Version, the Bible passage also acts as a prophecy. And as Luke makes sure to tell us at the beginning of the Bible passage, is spoken not by Zechariah, but by the Holy Spirit. The passage starts by singing praises to God of Zechariah's joy for all that he has done. But about halfway through, it changes. Zechariah starts talking about John, saying he will be a prophet of the Most High and that he will go on and prepare the way for the Lord. Zechariah continues to say things about what John will go on to do, to prepare the way for the Lord. But wait, hang on. Did he just say that John was going to prepare the way for the Lord? Could I just get you all to think from the perspective of a Jewish person who heard Zechariah say that? First off, God hasn't brought any massive revelations to the people of Israel for roughly 400 years. And now this baby that was literally just born is going to grow up and be a priest of the Most High and prepare the people for the Messiah that had been prophesied for quite a long time. I reckon anybody who heard that song would have been absolutely gobsmacked. This was probably aided by the fact that it was the first time Zechariah had spoken for at least 9 months. These people would also probably be working out that if John was to prepare the way for who we know to be Jesus, but they would only know as the Messiah who would save the people of Israel, then that Messiah must not be far away. And these people would also not simply be passing Zechariah's words off as some form of madness. Due to his time being mute and how the first words he spoke afterwards is this prophecy, the people who heard it would know it was from God. Hearing these words would give anyone around hope that their Saviour would be coming soon. Okay, so now that we know who Zechariah is and what his song was about, why don't we just combine what I've spoken about so far today? That being, what are we waiting for, and Zechariah. And when we combine these things, we come across another question, and that is, what was Zechariah waiting for? So what was he waiting for? Obviously, he had been waiting for a child, although he'd probably given up on having a child before the angel came to him. However, he still would have had the 9 months of the pregnancy waiting for the child to be born. But there was something else he was waiting for, something that comes under a different type of waiting to what I spoke about before. And the thing he was waiting for was not a thing, but Jesus. As I've mentioned before, Zechariah was the first person that had been spoken to by God for 400 years. And he would have known that. He would have known that there hadn't been a prophet since Malachi. But he would have still had hope that God wouldn't remain silent, and also that the Messiah would have been prophesied, would come. All the things that I've mentioned before when talking about waiting were things that have a date or day to look forward to. What Zechariah was waiting for had no time boundary set to it. From his point of view, it could have happened in his lifetime or it might not have. But Zechariah still had hope that God would send a saviour. Now, I wonder if you've been able to pick up a theme throughout the sermon, because there has been one related to this day of Advent and the question we're looking at over Advent. And that theme is to have hope for God that God will provide for us in our times of waiting. See, the story of Zechariah presents us with a challenge, and that is to change our hope from concrete things to a hope of faith. Don't put all your hopes into things of the world. Going back to my example of my experiences of school, if I just held hope in that school would end at some point, that doesn't improve my situation. But if I put my hope in my faith in God and that He would be with me, then I can feel as if someone is with me and waiting for school to end isn't too bad. And unlike Zechariah, it's so much easier to put this hope in God. Zechariah was waiting for something that had yet to happen, but we can put our hope in something that has happened. We know what Jesus did on the cross, and because of that, we find our hope. So as we head off into the next week, we can go knowing that God will be with us in our time of waiting. And unlike Zechariah, we can put our hope in what Jesus did and not something that is still to come. I'll finish off in prayer. God, we pray that you'll be with us in our times of waiting. We pray that we'll be able to put our hope in you, and that it will be a firm place to put our hope. We pray that you'll just be with us through all we do, through all our waiting, through whatever's to come, and just give us a hand when we don't know what's to come, when we doubt what we're about to do, that you'll just be with us. Pray all these things in your glorious name. Amen.